Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into The Sum of Us by Heather McGee. This profound work unpacks the pervasive impact of white supremacy on the American middle class, revealing the deplorable state of public services, the dire lack of healthcare for millions, and the overwhelming influence of lobbyists on political decisions. McGee argues compellingly that white Americans' support for policies that worsen the nation's troubles, spurred by misplaced blame on immigrants and people of color, is a destructive force against economic equality for all. Heather McGee, the book's author, brings a wealth of expertise from her tenure as president of Demos, a think tank dedicated to addressing inequality. Her involvement in drafting impactful legislation, her appearances before Congress, her advisory roles for presidential campaigns, and her status as a regular contributor on news platforms such as NBC's Meet the Press, alongside her leadership at Color of Change, the largest online racial justice organization in the nation, underpin the credibility and insightful analysis presented in The Sum of Us. This episode is a must-listen for white individuals seeking to comprehend the tangible consequences of racism, activists aspiring to foster effective multiracial collaborations, and anyone aiming to enrich their understanding of U.S. history's ongoing effects on contemporary politics. Join us as we explore how confronting racism head-on is pivotal in our fight for economic equality across America. The Sum of Us: What Racism Costs Everyone and How We Can Prosper Together. Introduction. A deeper look into America's fight against racism. In November of 2020, the world watched in stunned silence as extremist groups openly showcased their ideologies on a global stage, marching through the Capitol with symbols of racism that seemed ripped from another era. This spectacle brought the persistent shadow of white supremacy into sharp relief, highlighting a deep-rooted issue that extends far beyond the groups like the Proud Boys or even the tumultuous years of the Trump presidency. America's struggle with racism is as old as the nation itself, tracing back to the first European settlers who laid the foundational stones of racial hierarchy to legitimize slavery and justify centuries of discrimination. This dark tapestry is woven into the very fabric of American society, influencing everything from political discourse to public policies today. In this exploration, we delve into how racism remains ingrained in every facet of American life, how it shapes political strategies, and why it often leads people to vote against their own economic interests. We'll uncover the strategies that politicians employ to exploit racial tensions for electoral gains, revealing a cynical manipulation of societal divisions. Yet, amidst these challenges, there's a glimmer of hope. The narrative pivots to the concept of the solidarity dividend, the idea that by confronting white supremacy head-on and addressing inequalities, we can unlock benefits for everyone, transcending racial boundaries. You'll discover stories that illuminate this path, such as how Somali refugees revitalized a declining industrial town in Maine, providing a striking example of how embracing diversity can lead to communal prosperity. Additionally, we'll explore the unexpected links between racism and climate change, revealing how deeply interconnected our social issues are and suggesting that solving one can help address the others. From examining the reasons behind the filling of public pools in the 1950s, a stark symbol of racial segregation, to understanding the current threads that connect our past to the present, this journey is about more than recounting historical facts. It's a call to action, a challenge to each of us to engage in the fight against racial injustice and work towards a world where the benefits of unity and equality are shared by all. Through these stories and insights, we are reminded that the battle against white supremacy is not just a chapter in a history book, but an ongoing struggle that requires our collective effort and resolve. Part 1: Unraveling the Zero-Sum Myth That Divides Us. Envision a scenario where a group of crabs, trapped inside a bucket, frantically scramble over one another, aiming for escape. If they cooperatively formed a ladder of sorts, their collective freedom would be within reach. However, they persist in pulling each other down, ensuring their mutual captivity. This metaphor resonates deeply with the current American climate, a nation grappling with economic instability, deteriorating public services, and escalating environmental concerns. Despite these challenges, a significant portion of the white American populace cast their vote for a president whose policies seemed poised to deepen, not alleviate, these issues. This decision raises a perplexing question. Why would individuals act in opposition to their own best interests? The answer lies in a pervasive belief in a zero-sum game, the notion that the advancement of Black Americans inherently means a setback for white Americans. This concept, the zero-sum paradigm, has misled countless white Americans. Research conducted by psychologists Maureen Craig and Jennifer Richson has shed light on how fears of shifting racial demographics incite white individuals toward more conservative, sometimes self-detrimental political stances. For instance, exposure to projections that racial minorities will become the majority by 2042 heightened respondents' likelihood to oppose policies that would benefit them economically, such as raising the minimum wage or supporting green energy initiatives. Conservative political strategists are adept at tapping into these fears, often portraying government assistance programs as undue handouts to Black individuals or framing environmental legislation as an attack on white labor sectors. However, objectively viewed, the anxiety that white Americans are under threat is unfounded, with white families holding, on average, 13 times more wealth than Black families and maintaining disproportionate representation in homeownership, government, and prestigious occupations, the fear of being at a disadvantage is baseless. To fully grasp this zero-sum mindset, one must journey back to America's inception, an era marked by European colonizers who justified the enslavement of African populations and the seizure of indigenous lands through the construction of a racial hierarchy. This hierarchy enabled the rationalization of slavery, a cruel foundation upon which modern America was built. Thus, the prosperity of white individuals historically came at the direct expense of Black people. The prospect of equality is daunting to some white individuals because of an ingrained fear that the historical paradigm might reverse, placing them on the losing end. However, as we dig deeper into this narrative, it becomes evident that this fear of a reversed zero-sum game is a mirage. The path toward a truly equitable society does not lead to the detriment of any group, but rather lifts us all, dispelling the myth that divides us and unveiling the potential for a collective advance toward prosperity. Part 2. The Self-Inflicted Wound: How Racism Undermines Public Goods. Imagine an idyllic scene from the past. A large, bustling public swimming pool in Montgomery, Alabama, a community gathering place shimmering under the summer sun. However, this vibrant image is marred by a shocking decision. The pool filled with dirt and closed off forever in 1959. The reason? A legal mandate for desegregation meant that Black residents could also enjoy this public amenity. Rather than share this public space, officials opted for a drastic measure that symbolized a broader trend. When inclusivity was enforced, white support for public resources crumbled. This action wasn't isolated. Across the United States, the battle for civil rights spotlighted the stark inequities in access to public services. While civil rights victories in court marked progress, the response often involved shutting down or severely restricting those very services if it meant they had to be shared with Black Americans. Public pools were just the tip of the iceberg. From being leased to private, whites-only clubs, to allowing public goods to decay when faced with the prospect of racial integration. The core issue here is clear. Racism has significantly eroded the quality and availability of public services. The narrative takes us back to the Great Depression and the implementation of the New Deal by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1933. This set of programs and policies aimed to bolster the American economy, offering support through secure jobs, affordable housing, and extensive social welfare. Initially, these public services enjoyed broad support among the white population until the 1950s. However, these benefits were largely withheld from Black Americans through explicit legal measures or systemic policies like redlining, revealing a glaring racial exclusion from the prosperity these policies generated. The advent of the civil rights movement in the 1960s, which pushed for equal access to these vital public goods, marked a turning point. As Black Americans rightfully demanded their share, white support for such communal investments plummeted, revealing a racialized view of welfare and prosperity. The vision was clouded by fears of losing economic superiority, a dominance that had become invisibly entrenched as merely the deserved spoils of hard work rather than the result of privileged access to discriminatory policies. This mindset led to a wholesale withdrawal from the idea of shared public goods if it meant extending those benefits across racial lines. The consequence was not just a lost swimming pool, but a cascading effect that diminished public services for everyone, underlining the tragic irony. In the rush to preserve racial and economic hierarchies, the very fabric of communal support and infrastructure was unraveled. This historical detour not only highlights the immense cost of racism on public services, but also serves as a cautionary tale about the dangers of sacrificing collective welfare for the sake of preserving divisive and unjust societal structures. Part 3: How Racism Undermines the Pillars of American Democracy. In the aftermath of the 2020 election, the storming of the U.S. Capitol served as a stark visual reminder of the fragility of democracy in the face of extremism. This incident, however, is not an anomaly, but a continuation of a historical pattern of exclusion and disenfranchisement. At its core, democracy is predicated on the principle that each citizen possesses equal influence over the governance of their country, exercised through the right to vote. Nonetheless, the realization of this ideal has been consistently compromised by racism, which has erected formidable barriers to full democratic participation in the United States. Racism's corrosive effect on democracy is profound. Initially, the U.S. Constitution was crafted predominantly for the benefit of wealthy white men, excluding all others from the democratic process. Even subsequent amendments that prohibited race-based voting discrimination were circumvented by states through inventive means designed to suppress Black voter turnout. Mississippi pioneered this with the imposition of poll taxes and subjective tests intended to disenfranchise Black citizens. These measures were not exclusive to Black voters, however. They also inadvertently disenfranchised poor white individuals, highlighting the broader democratic deficit these policies induced. By 1944, the voter turnout in states that enforced poll taxes plummeted to 18%, a stark contrast to the national average of 69%, representing a significant blow to democratic participation. This legacy of voter suppression persists in modern practices that complicate or outright obstruct the voting process for marginalized communities. Contemporary examples include stringent voter registration laws that vary by state, creating a labyrinthine set of requirements that disproportionately disenfranchise voters of color. In Texas, for instance, regulations stipulating specific forms of photo ID, accepting gun permits but rejecting college IDs, and clearly target demographic groups based on racial and age-based profiles. The implications of these voter suppression tactics extend beyond Black communities, affecting young voters and others likely to challenge the status quo. Measures such as the eradication of programs that automatically register high school students in North Carolina and the relocation of polling sites away from college campuses are indicative of a wider strategy to dilute the influence of diverse voices in the electoral process. Ultimately, the fundamental premise of democracy, that every individual holds the right to partake equally in the governance of their nation, is severely undermined by these practices. Racism thus acts not merely as a vector of social inequality, but as a direct threat to the democratic ethos of the United States, challenging the notion of universal participation and representation in its governance. Part 4. How racial divides weaken worker solidarity and unions. Back in 2017, the assembly lines and production floors of the Nissan manufacturing plant in Canton, Mississippi, became the battleground for an important decision. Workers faced a pivotal vote. Should they unify under a union? The stakes were high, offering prospects for better wages, enhanced healthcare, retirement benefits, and a safer work environment. Yet, when the tally was in, a surprising outcome emerged. White workers overwhelmingly rejected the union proposal by a decisive margin of 500 votes. On the surface, this decision appears counterintuitive. Why would they vote against measures that promise such clear benefits? The answer lies in an age-old deception, the belief that elevating the fortunes of black workers inherently meant a loss for their white counterparts. This sentiment wasn't baseless paranoia. Tactics employed by Nissan's management subtly reinforced racial divisions, privileging white workers with less hazardous, more comfortable jobs, while black employees manned the perilous assembly lines. Unionizing promised to eliminate these disparities, heralding a fairer workplace for all. Yet the myopic focus on short-term racial advantages overshadowed the broader benefits. This fracturing along racial lines represents a significant departure from the legacy of labor unions in America. Historically, unions were the architects behind monumental labor rights achievements, the standard 40-hour workweek, pension schemes, and much more, often fruit of multiracial solidarity. During their peak in the 1950s, unions counted one in three American workers among their ranks. However, their influence began to wane by the early 60s, a period that coincidentally aligns with the surge of civil rights activism, receiving vocal support from key unions. As race politics infiltrated union discourse, conservative politicians and corporate strategists exploited this division, painting unions as bastions protecting the supposedly indolent black worker. This narrative further deepened racial schisms within labor movements, contributing to a sharp decline in union membership today, where only one in 16 American workers are unionized. Yet, not all is lost. The Fight for 15 Inches movement, initiated by fast food workers across New York in 2012, shines a beacon of hope for cross-racial labor organizing, centering racial solidarity in its demands for a $1.15 minimum wage. The movement has seen remarkable successes, inspiring several cities to adopt this wage standard. This resurgence of unified worker action underlines an important lesson. True progress and betterment for workers lie in solidarity that transcends racial lines, challenging the divisive narratives that have long undermined unions and workers' collective power. Part 5. The intertwined battle against climate change and racism. As the world grapples with the stark realities of climate change, from devastating hurricanes to wildfires ravaging forests, and the poignant imagery of polar bears stranded on diminishing ice caps, a common adversary emerges in the form of corporate greed fueling the fossil fuel industry. Yet, there's a critical element often overlooked in this environmental struggle: the pervasive influence of racism on political inertia surrounding climate actions. The indispensable truth is, successfully combating climate change necessitates a simultaneous fight against racism. This reality became particularly pronounced during Barack Obama's presidency, where his environmentalist efforts were misconstrued as a threat to white employment sectors, such as coal mining. Framed as a battle between environmental preservation and economic prosperity, this narrative was tinged with racial biases, painting the issue as a zero-sum game. Indeed, racial attitudes significantly shape perspectives on climate change. Polls have revealed a stark divergence in concern levels, with less than a quarter of white respondents acknowledging climate change as a pressing issue, in stark contrast to 70% of black respondents. Notably, those expressing racial resentment are more likely to deny the reality of climate change. The forefront of opposition to climate initiatives is often occupied by affluent white men, suggesting an implicit belief in insulating themselves from environmental repercussions. This belief is tangibly reflected in environmental policies and practices. Toxic waste facilities and incinerators are disproportionately located in black neighborhoods, emblematic of sacrifice zones, thus amplifying the health impacts of pollution on black communities. However, the reality remains that environmental calamities do not discriminate by race or wealth. Hurricanes and toxins impact both affluent and marginalized communities alike. The fallacy of a zero-sum perspective becomes glaringly obvious in the face of shared global environmental risks. The path forward lies in embracing multiracial solidarity and environmental activism. Notable initiatives like the Green New Deal and movements such as the Standing Rock protests underscore the power of diverse coalitions in challenging the fossil fuel hegemony. These movements gain strength from their acknowledgement of the intertwined nature of racial injustice and environmental degradation, leveraging unity across racial lines to etch progress in the battle against climate change. In essence, the dual fight against racism and environmental decay is not just beneficial but essential. Recognizing and confronting the racial dimensions of climate change, denial, and inaction is a crucial step towards forging a comprehensive and inclusive strategy to safeguard our planetary home for all its inhabitants. Part 6: The Hidden Toll of Segregation on Every Community. Oftentimes, when discussing the ramifications of racial segregation, focus primarily falls on marginalized communities, areas characterized by economic hardship and limited access to quality education or healthcare, disproportionately affecting people of color. Contrastingly, predominantly white suburbs, emblematic of affluence with their expansive lawns and spacious homes, might appear untouched by segregation's blight. While it's true that these communities often elude the more visible scars of oppression and neglect, pervasive in predominantly black neighborhoods, segregation inflicts subtler yet profound damages universally. Segregation's imprint on society is far from happenstance. It's the culmination of deliberate policies spanning centuries. The Homestead Act of 1862, which distributed land confiscated from indigenous peoples to American citizens, systematically excluded black individuals, laying the groundwork for enduring racial divides. Successive legislative acts, including the Jim Crow laws and discriminatory housing practices like redlining, solidified this segregation. Even though contemporary laws no longer explicitly prohibit black people from residing in predominantly white neighborhoods, economic barriers persist. Maintained by exclusive zoning laws that restrict housing development and impose minimum size requirements on homes. This economic stratification, rooted in centuries of racism, perpetuates white enclaves beyond the financial reach of many black families, exacerbating the housing affordability crisis for a broad swath of the population. Beyond the economic ramifications, the corrosive effects of residing in racially homogenized communities extend to educational opportunities and cultural development. In such settings, public schools tend to reflect the homogeneity of their surroundings, depriving children, including white students, of the enriching experiences that come with racially integrated education. Research attests to the benefits of diversity in learning environments, where white students in integrated settings exhibit enhanced critical thinking and problem-solving skills, alongside the development of cultural competency. As the United States and the world become increasingly multicultural, the ability to navigate and collaborate across cultural and racial differences emerges as an indispensable skill, one that many white individuals, ensconced in predominantly white circles, find themselves lacking. This revelation underscores the universal detriments of segregation, challenging the notion that any community remains untouched by its impact. The journey toward dismantling this entrenched structure of racial separation entails a proactive effort to reshape our neighborhoods and schools, a mission critical not only for the equitable distribution of resources, but for fostering a societal fabric enriched by diversity and mutual understanding. This endeavor invites not only a refutation of segregation's historical legacy, but an embrace of the rich potential that integrated communities hold for everyone. Part 7, Addressing Structural Racism with Precision and Purpose. As the COVID-19 pandemic swept across the United States in early 2020, initial narratives portrayed the virus as an indiscriminate force, impartial to the divides of race and social status. However, the facade of this supposed color blindness quickly crumbled, revealing a starkly unequal landscape. The virus itself didn't discriminate, but its impact did, with Black and Latinx communities bearing a disproportionately lethal burden. This outcome wasn't random, but the direct result of systemic inequalities, from frontline job exposures and environmental hazards to gaps in healthcare coverage. This scenario underscores a broader truth. Targeted solutions are essential to rectify centuries of structural racism. The disproportionate fatalities among people of color during the pandemic are symptomatic of deeper, long-standing disparities entrenched in the fabric of American society. While racism diminishes society as a whole, its heaviest toll is exacted on communities of color. Hence, fostering true solidarity across racial lines entails more than a universal approach. It demands a keen recognition of these systemic inequities and a committed effort to address and heal the wounds they have inflicted. The assertion that one is colorblind to race, albeit well-intentioned, inadvertently turns a blind eye to the realities of structural racism and its pervasive consequences. How do we embark on this path of redress and healing? It begins with sculpting economic and social policies with the finesse to cut through the layers of racial injustice. Take home ownership, a critical asset in the wealth-building arsenal for American families. The historic disparity in home ownership rates between Black and white Americans, fueled by practices such as redlining, cries out for rectification. Generic, colorblind policies like mortgage tax breaks that disproportionately benefit the affluent fall short of addressing these deep-seated imbalances. Rather, a deliberate, targeted approach is required. One that not only acknowledges past injustices, such as those perpetuated by redlining, but also leverages this understanding to prioritize interventions in the communities most affected. Such policies might, at first glance, seem to challenge the principle of fairness, yet their potential to uplift the most marginalized directly translates into broader societal and economic benefits. The gains of such targeted measures stretch far beyond moral rectitude. Economically, addressing racial inequality not only promises to rejuvenate and expand the middle class, but could catalyze significant growth in the national economy, potentially unlocking up to $8 trillion by 2050. This vision counters the zero-sum narrative that posits gains for communities of color as losses for white individuals, revealing instead a blueprint for prosperity that elevates society as a whole. In sum, the journey toward an equitable and integrated society demands a conscious, meticulous effort to dismantle the architecture of racial disparities. Through policies that explicitly confront and counteract the legacies of racism, we can pave the way for a future where progress and prosperity are truly shared by all. Part 8, Revitalizing Communities Through Unity and Diversity. In the twilight of the 20th century, Lewiston, Maine, painted the all-too-familiar picture of American industrial decline. Once a vibrant manufacturing center, its economic vitality drained away with factory closures and job migrations, leaving behind a city grappling with desolation and a dwindling population. As the town's heartbeat slowed, vacated storefronts along the main street stood as somber monuments to its former prosperity. Yet, from the ashes of economic despair, Lewiston rose anew, its story transforming into one of rejuvenation and hope. The catalyst? An influx of immigrants from Somalia and other African nations, breathing life back into the community without the return of the lost factory jobs. New entrepreneurs filled empty storefronts, creating jobs and heralding the establishment of new educational institutions. This turnaround exemplifies the profound impact of integration and cross-racial organizing, yielding what can be termed the solidarity dividends. The willingness of Lewiston's long-standing residents to welcome newcomers, forsaking the zero-sum mindset that pits one group's gain against another's loss, was pivotal. Celebrations like the Unity Barbecue emerged as vibrant symbols of this inclusive spirit, bringing together individuals from varied backgrounds. Activist groups, enriched by this diversity, mobilized thousands to champion causes such as Medicare expansion and responses to the opioid crisis, showcasing the tangible benefits of solidarity. Lewiston's story dismantles the myth that societal gains for Black and immigrant communities equate to losses for white residents. Rather, it reveals a collective uplift, challenging the notion of adversaries identified by race or birthplace. The real foes, as Lewiston's revival demonstrates, are those who profit from division. The elite minority exacerbating inequality, environmental degradation, and inadequate healthcare access. This elite thrives on sowing discord and promoting racial resentment, aware that a united front across racial lines poses a significant threat to their hold on power. Despite the divisive rhetoric perpetuated by some media outlets, there's a growing recognition of the fabrication of these narratives. Emboldened multiracial coalitions are forging paths toward policies that prioritize public welfare over concentrated wealth. Their efforts envision a society where communal resources like public pools symbolize inclusivity and shared joy, a counter-narrative to the divisions foisted upon communities by those seeking to maintain a status quo of disparity. In sum, Lewiston's resurgence is a beacon of hope, illustrating the transformative power of embracing diversity and unity. It stands as a testament to the fact that when communities come together, transcending racial and cultural divides, they can rewrite the narrative of decline into one of thriving inclusivity and mutual prosperity. Final summary: in an era where the divide between the richest 1% and the rest of the population has reached unprecedented depths, millions of Americans find themselves grappling with the consequences of economic decisions that erode public assets and concentrate wealth at the very top. This stark inequality is further exacerbated by the paradox of white Americans who, despite being adversely affected, often rally behind political leaders and policies that prioritize billionaire interests over their own. To untangle this seemingly irrational paradox, one must delve into the complex interplay of racial identity, politics, and recognize the strategic manipulation of racism by conservative figures to advance their agenda. The heart of this challenge lies not just in economic disparity, but in the undercurrents of white supremacy that have historically shaped America's political landscape. By addressing and actively confronting these divisive forces, Americans across the racial spectrum can forge a powerful alliance. This unity has the potential to redefine the nation, paving the way for an inclusive society where opportunities for advancement and prosperity are accessible to all, irrespective of race. The journey toward such a transformative vision requires an acknowledgement of the deep-seated structural inequalities that have long influenced American life, coupled with a concerted effort to dismantle these barriers. Through collective action and a rejection of divisive tactics, there lies the promise of a reimagined America, one characterized by equality, solidarity, and an unwavering commitment to shared progress. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery, as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book, Until then, happy reading and happy listening.